I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering everybody a safe space. If you're an independent thinker out there, not subject to the group think, able to handle politicians being held accountable. I just got some funny news. I may share it later. Then this is the show for you. We're going to get today into the stimulus bill. They passed it. Bipartisan success story, right? Oh, they set aside their differences, and the thinking of the vast majority of Americans is, oh, they finally are getting things done for the American people. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a it's about a 5,500-page bill that they read, I guess, just yesterday. I'm sure. But trust me, I've got comments from our own elected leaders here in Mississippi we'll go through, too. I'm sure they are very familiar with the nuts and bolts, the real guts of this bill. But just in case they haven't read it, or if you haven't taken a few days off work to read the 5,593-page stimulus bill, I'll cover it for you here. See, I'm doing a service for you here. So we'll get to that in just a minute. I've got my quotes of the day today. I'm really branching out of my quotes of the day segment here. I usually give a lot of thoughtful stuff. It's a little bit, it's a different time of the year, right? A little fun stuff. So I'll even start with what I saw was written down as a joke. A kid goes to Santa Claus and he sits on Santa Claus' lap. Santa says, "What do you want for Christmas?" And the kid says, "A unicorn." And Santa says, "Come on, kid, give me something realistic." And the kid says, "Okay, how about a government that doesn't violate my rights and take my money?" And Santa says, "What color unicorn did you want?" Because it's more realistic. There's a funny, here's my Babylon Bee has a great story out. The headline is, FDA approves fake vaccine for staged photo shoots. The FDA has approved a fake vaccine for staged photo shoots by celebrities and politicians, the administration announced today. After reviewing the placebo vaccine for weeks, FDA experts confirmed it was totally safe for celebrities to take while posting selfies to social media telling you to get vaccinated. Quote, "We are proud to approve this placebo so that celebrities and politicians can smile and give you a thumbs up while we inject them with a totally fake vaccine," said an FDA spokesperson. "American ingenuity, science, and medical know-how all came together to make this happen in record time." As Ian McKellen, I believe, isn't that Sir Ian McKellen, posted his celebrity selfie getting the vaccine, there was a bit of a scare as a nurse thought she had accidentally given him the real thing. "What?" McKellen screamed. "I don't want that rush to market substance injected into me. Who knows what's in there? That's for the poor people." Luckily, the nurse said, "Oh, wait, false alarm. We injected you with the placebo after all." Ian McKellen was incredibly relieved. I'm telling you, I don't trust a single one of these people that are sitting in this chair and getting this vaccination, air quotes, here in the studio. Along those lines, further branching out of my quote of the day segment here, I've actually got an audio clip that I wanted to play, and I had to spend some time editing this thing. So I hope everybody appreciates the work because it's a George Carlin clip, and those aren't always easy to take straight to air. Real quick, though, I'll take a caller. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Hey, to you, too. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How about you?
Good.
Good. Did you hear the or see the clip with Fauci answering questions to the children about Santa Claus?
Yes, I played those yesterday on the show. Yes. Okay. Yes, he went up there and ejected. Oh, my gosh. There were several of us. Apparently, the way I understood this, I got these as audio clips, but it was CNN, Sesame Street, and Fauci all ganging up together to propagandize to the children.
Yeah. And the one thing that I'd like to point out, and I don't know that if you did, but apparently Dr. Fauci went up to the North Pole and disregarded his own travel restrictions.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's true. Yet again.
How about that?
Yep, yep. Well, that certainly doesn't surprise us, does it? Yeah, it is. The amazing thing to me was they were, in the clips I was playing yesterday, he assured us also that they are starting to do testing on children in January. And I just can't for the life of me imagine a parent that puts their child up for an experimental vaccine test. Who in the hell does that?
I can't understand it either, but... I've not been a big fan of vaccinations ever since that Guillain-Barré outbreak in the 70s.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I just wanted to throw a little levity into it this morning.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it. We'll stick around and listen to you. I got a good George Carlin clip, too, about our immune system. He's warned us about this pandemic stuff, so I'll play that, too.
Yes,
but thanks.
Did.
Yeah,
Merry
thanks.
Christmas.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so as I say, I'm going to branch out here, do a little bit of audio. This is a great George Carlin clip, and this is a man after my own heart. Had to edit out some of the colorful language that actually I appreciate, but not suitable for FCC broadcast radio.
Because that's what Americans do now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? In this country, have you noticed this? The media constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu, and Americans they panic easily, so now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. It's true. It's true. Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sportsmanship out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. Why these? Besides, what do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So listen. If you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not going to be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you going to do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to deserve it because you're weak and you got a weak immune system. Now, God damn it. Hey. All right. Let me tell you a true story about immunization, okay? When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River and it was filled with raw sewage, okay? We swam in raw sewage, you know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one, ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. We were tempered in raw So, and you know something? In spite of all that so-called risky behavior, I never get infections. I don't get them. I don't get colds. I don't get flu. I don't get headaches. I don't get upset stomachs. And you know why? Because I got a good, strong immune.
Immune system. Yeah. So there we go. I think I've told this story before. Now, the reason I don't get sick anymore is because I got sick a lot up until my early 30s, and then I changed my diet, and I haven't had a sick day in 15 years. But I have always wondered what the effects are. I used to ride behind the mosquito sprayer. I don't know what my parents were doing. I don't know if they were inside having a cocktail or what, but me and my buddies would get behind the fogger truck that sprayed for mosquitoes every summer, and we would pretend we were like in combat somewhere going through the smoke of war. We would follow this thing. Luckily, we had a very short street. I lived on a short little T street that had two dead ends, so the truck was only on the street for maybe 3 minutes to make the pass through our neighborhood. But we would get on our bikes, no mask, no nothing, sucking up the mosquito spray. There may be all kinds of things wrong with me mentally, emotionally. I don't know. There's no telling what the results of that have been. But I don't get bit by mosquitoes very often, I'll tell you that.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We're going to get into the new bipartisan spending bill that came out. Oh, they joined hands, crossed party lines, and got something done for the American people? Well, maybe not as much as you would think if all you listen to are the politicians and the media. I heard a lot of coverage of it today. I'm going to get into some of the actual numbers there. Now, if you have already read the 5,593-page bill, then you can skip the next couple of segments. You already know what's in it. For those of you that have not quit your job, I don't know, a lot of people unemployed these days. Maybe people are sitting home today parsing through this 5,593-page bill. They had about 6 hours to read. But before I get into that, I do want to say something you can do positive in the world, and that is Mississippi Blood Services today is having a blood drive out here in Flora at the MEA. That's at 740 Highway 49 North. It's right in front of the MEA. They'll have the blood donation bus out there. There's a $15 Visa card and a Mississippi Blood Services Christmas t-shirt for all successful donations. It'll go on from noon until 5 today. Holiday times, I think, is always a tough time for blood donations. They run a little low. People get too busy to get out there and donate, so please come by today. Again, that's 740 Highway 49 North in front of the MEA here in Flora. It'll be the Mississippi Blood Services bus out there. And if it's like every other time I've ever given blood, they'll give you a cookie when you get done. So come by and donate blood today. All right. What outrage should I begin with? Well, we'll just start, I guess, in order of my notes here. Yes, the bipartisan spending bill. Now, it is the theory, the motto, essentially, of the Mike Madison Show that bipartisanship is only good when they are undoing something. If they are getting us out of a war, for instance. If they are stopping some kind of a government program. And this happens from time to time, maybe once, twice a year. Not near as much as the things that they actually pass. Bipartisanship, when they are getting something done, when they are enacting something, is a colossal mistake for the future of the United States. So this is a bipartisan doing something, which is, again, a colossal mistake. It is 5,593 pages. There is a rule in Congress that each member is given 72 hours to read a bill before it passes, but this one, just like all of the other bills of this nature, they suspend those rules. So none of your elected representatives have read the 5,593-page bill I'll read you their comments in just a second. But this show is about bringing people together. So, hey, to all you people out there that are the hyper-partisans or worshipers of your favorite politician, let's take a look at what you people have voted for. 8 years of hope and change and 4 years of MAGA, I'll bet this spending bill really goes far to help Americans of every color and creed. You know, because it was bipartisan. This is what we want for all of you out there who says, I'm just glad to see them finally getting something done. Well, let's see what they got done. There are the things that you've heard about on the news. This is a $900 billion bill. This would have been considered large just a year ago. Now this is just another massive spending bill. This is at a time where Congress is set to spend $3 trillion this month alone. Everybody's going to get a $600 check. If you make $75,000 or less, $150,000 per couple, you're each going to get a $600 check. What's interesting about that is they've really expanded this to really help the American people. This time, however, mixed status households where eligible citizens live with illegal immigrants will not only receive payments, they can retroactively claim benefits after being left out of the last round. Family members of unauthorized immigrants are now eligible to get stimulus checks. The eligibility is retroactive, so adults excluded last time could get up to $1,800 now. That's in this bill that Cindy Hyde-Smith, Roger Wicker, Michael Guest seem to be pretty excited about, as far as the tweets that I have for them in just a second. The bill also includes $300 per week in enhanced unemployment benefits. Here on the Mike Madison Show, we call that universal basic income. We call it socialism. And would extend unemployment to 50 weeks for both state and federal programs versus the standard 26 weeks, which is strange because we're in this V-shaped recovery and the economy is shooting to the moon. Not sure why we have to do that. But then we start getting into the pork. Let's see how we break this down here. Well, let's start with one of the biggies in here. This is in this bill. In a coronavirus relief package, we are sending $3.3 billion to Israel. Now, we do this every single year, but I found this a little odd. Is this not a time where we could maybe tell Israel, hey, we know we give you $3.3 billion a year out of taxpayers' wallets and to your government, and this provides for your nation. We also supply your national defense by announcing ourselves as an ally that if anyone comes after you, we will fight your battles for you. And we fight your wars for you, too. We take on all of your enemies in the Middle East. Could we not say, though, this year, we've had kind of a tough year, so we're not going to be able to send you the money this year. No, we did it last year, and we'll send you $3.3 billion next year again, part of the almost $40 billion package that was passed just a couple of years ago, you know, because MAGA and all. But it's just strange to me. I mean, it just feels like when you're dealing with friends, you can just tell them, hey, I know I just give you money every year, but this year, I got to tell you, it was tough. We're a little light in the pocketbook. Had some things to take care of at home. Do you think you could not take the money this year? I looked it up. Israel's GDP is $400 billion. But I guess this 1%, less than 1% of their national GDP, they just couldn't do without that. So the American taxpayers, in a year of record deficits, spending, joblessness, restaurants going under, they're still going to get there. $3.3 billion, because apparently, I guess Israel couldn't look at it and go, hey, look, America had a tough year. We're going to have to cut 0.8% off of our budget. They can't cut, you know, 1% off of their budget. But they're not the only ones, too. And it's not, you know, I can hear it now. He's anti-Semitic. He hates Jews. That's absolutely nothing to do with that. Don't let me roll out my 4 years of dating a Jewish girl. My first love. Well, how about money to Ukraine? I think people can get on board with that because, you know, Joe Biden was dealing in corrupt Ukraine money. So in the world of political theater, we can be outraged about Ukraine getting taxpayer dollars. Let's see how much Ukraine is getting in this bill. $453 million to Ukraine on top of the $400 million Trump recently released. I'm not sure how much of that is going to actually go to the Biden family. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. Here is a good one. We're going to send, and this is, again, if I can set the table here and give you the backdrop as to what this is. We've got 110,000 restaurants have gone out of business in the last 5 months, and 8 million Americans have gone into poverty over that same period of time. Well, actually, no, that's over 3 months. 8 million people have become in poverty here in the United States. But we've got, apparently, from the Congress critters up there, this bipartisan consensus in the House, the Senate, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, kumbaya. They give $10 million for gender programs in Pakistan. And this isn't at least, I'm going to actually read from you to you from the bill, assistance of the funds appropriated under Title III of this act that are made available for assistance for Pakistan, not less than $15 million shall be made available for democracy programs, and not less than $10 million shall be made available for gender programs. So to all you struggling restaurateurs out there, $1.3 billion to Egypt, $700 million to Sudan, and I would say the same thing to Ukraine, to Egypt, and Sudan. Maybe you just tell them, hey, look, kind of in a tough spot this year. Our government has so massively overreacted to COVID and crushed our entire economy and really driven people into poverty. And people, I mean, we got people out here killing themselves because of the economic damage. Not a good year for us, Egypt, to send you $1.3 billion. Are y'all okay with that? I mean, we'll get right back to it. We've been giving you money every year for decades. We'll start again next year, I promise. But this year, not a great year for you to get $1.3 billion. We actually have people hurting here in this country. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, $135 million to Burma. I'm sure that is some legitimate national security purpose. I know all of us each night as we go to bed, we say our prayers and pray that the country of Burma stands firmly with the United States and whatever context, it's important to give $135 million to Burma. Again, to you restaurateurs, to you small business owners that have sacrificed, to those of you who have lost your jobs, you should rest soundly knowing that we gave $135 million to Burma, $85.5 million to Cambodia, $1.4 billion for an Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, and $130 million to Nepal. Now, don't worry, there's been some domestic spending here. We've got $4 billion for new Navy weapons procurement, $2 billion for Space Force, and $2 billion for Air Force missiles. So again, if you have suffered through this latest economic crisis, know that the defense contractors are still doing fine. Don't worry your pretty little heads about them. The defense contractors have not missed a beat. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just wondering, how far is everybody going to let themselves get pushed? You know, if you keep going on, you know, the mask, yeah, it's no big deal. It's just a mask, but they're not going to stop there.
No.
It's going to keep going until somebody stands up. And do you want to be the person that stands up alone, or do you want to be the group that stands up together and says, look, this is ridiculous?
Well, I'll tell you what I see the problem being, and I talk about it a lot here on the show, and it's not really popular in conservative radio land. It is this idea of pitting us against each other in these two teams. Now, what I'm talking about right now should outrage every single person, black, white, young, old, Republican, Democrat. But the problem is that what you will see, everybody will go to their bubbles today, and the Democratic media will point out that the Republicans did something wrong in this bill, and the Republican sites will point out that the Democrats did something wrong in this bill, or with any issue. and it is always the other guy's fault. Meanwhile, we are all, young, old, black, white, Hispanic, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, all taking the same prison pounding from this government. But we refuse to stop it because we think it's just the other side's fault. And so we embolden our side, which is half of the problem, and just have a problem with the other side.
Absolutely. What's the old saying? We stick together or hang, or I forget how it goes, but
yeah, you know, we hang together.
It has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It's Americans versus communism.
It's Americans versus our government, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is insane when we're talking about this bill or the COVID stuff. It doesn't matter, you know, but again, in Republican media, all of the COVID lockdowns and all of the COVID overreach and all of the crushing of businesses and all these other things, they say, that's the Democrats. The Democrats have politicized this thing. It's all the Democrats. Well, sure, Andrew Cuomo is especially bad on this. Gavin Newsom out in California, especially bad. Democrats are probably worse on this stuff.
The rest of them, yeah.
Right.
Can I ask something off that real quick?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk about in this new stimulus bill, there's like $900 million going to Sudan and $600 million going to South America. Like, I've got a spreadsheet that I can't verify, but...
I'm that's what I'm doing right now. I'm reading from the bill. I'm actually reading from the bill. $135 million to Burma, $85.5 million to Cambodia. Yeah.
Why is that even illegal?
Because they do what they want.
Forget ethical. Why is it even illegal?
Well...
It's a 6,000-page... stimulus package you can read before you can pass it. Didn't we learn our lesson with Obamacare?
No. No, we didn't. No, we did not. Because, again, everybody's only incensed by what the other team's doing. That diffuses our power. It strips away power from all Americans. I mean, if you stop and look at this, I don't care if you're young, old, black, white, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. The average U.S. taxpayer pays $9,000 a year in taxes. What they've done with this bill, this is almost comical. They are going to, so if the average U.S. taxpayer pays $9,000 in federal income taxes, essentially they're going to give you back $1,800, $1,200 in your first check, $600 in this check, and then they're going to give the other $7,200 to Burma and Israel and Pakistan gender studies. And nobody notices.
If you think that Israel or any of them are getting $100 million and there's not some politician getting $50 million, you're crazy.
No, absolutely.
But here's the other thing. You keep talking about this team, that team. Here's the thing. We're all on the same team. It's your A squad versus your B squad. We're on the same team.
I couldn't agree more.
That's the problem. We're on the same team. We're fighting against each other, and we're never going to get anything done. And they have controlled us to the point where we can't even talk. I went to Christmas this weekend. I couldn't even talk to my cousin. He's so far left, I couldn't even talk to him. Didn't say a word to him the whole Christmas.
Yeah, I know it. Well, I mean, you know, it is hard to wake up people like that, but that's why I do stories like this, appropriations bill, because we have got to start highlighting how we're all getting screwed.
Everybody.
I mean, royally.
Not Democrats, the whole team.
Yes, it is. And there's 330 million of us. And probably a few thousand of the people that are really at the trough benefiting. 330 million versus a few thousand people. We could get them to sit down, shut up, and go away. But the problem is, of the 330 million, we've got 60 million on one side, 60 million on the other side, and then a bunch of people who have either given up or don't care. And so we have this equilibrium out here that they just are playing. These people in power just play us. I'm going to read you the tweets from your Republican representatives about this monstrosity of a bill, not to mention the fact it's a welfare bill in the first place, a socialist bill in the first place, and it is a direct consequence of their actions that have locked our country down that put us in this position in the first place.
Do you know what you're left with? 3%.
Yeah, well, that's the number, isn't it? Yeah,
it's always been a number.
We'll see. We'll see if it ever actually arises. Hey, I appreciate the call. I got to run to a break.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this show is a healing show. It's a building bridges show. I don't care who you are, what side of, if you do not understand the screw job that the American and the debt is going to affect every single one of us. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care where you were educated, or where you were born, or what you think. We are all going to suffer the consequences of this. The fact that it hasn't happened yet is pure luck at this point. A little bit of math, dollar reserves. This is going to take down all of us. And you nut jobs out there on the partisan side of things, no offense, I used to be one of you. You are essentially fighting on the deck of the Titanic while it just sinks into the ocean. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're taking a look at the new stimulus bill today. Quite amazing stuff, I got to tell you. And I'll read our local, our Mississippi, you know, our fiscal conservative Republican legislators from Mississippi that have gone up to D.C. We'll get their take on it. And I'm doing this because I feel that it's a service. I doubt very many of you will read the 5,593-page bill yourself. And when I watched the coverage of it on the mainstream media, they talked about the $600 checks. They talked about the Paycheck Protection Program. They talked about for some funding for COVID operations. These kind of, but they just left so many things out. Yeah, the constraints of time and all, I'm sure. So I'm covering those things that they won't cover for you on the mainstream news, which is the billions I've already explained to you in foreign aid to Israel and Sudan and Nepal and $10 million for gender studies over in Pakistan. The story I'm looking at has got a bunch of tweets in it from people. Somebody by the name of Technofog writes this in a tweet. The stimulus bill. The government closes the economy. You lose your job. You face eviction. $600 for all your troubles. Meanwhile, they send $135 million to Burma, $85.5 million to Cambodia, $1.4 billion for Asia Reassurance Initiative Act, $130 million to Nepal. They hate you, is his last sentence. And they do. The people in Washington, D.C. have utter contempt for you. Oh, they'll go to the microphones and talk about the sadness of the 110,000 restaurants that have closed in the last 5 months. But they will certainly not stop $3.3 billion to Israel or $135 million to Burma to shore up any restaurants here. They gave you your $600. They gave you a possibly forgivable loan in the Paycheck Protection Program if you abide by all their rules. Now sit down and shut up while we dole out taxpayer cash. And remember, every one of these dollars comes out of an American's wallet. Either now or in the future, some of it's just printed up. If it doesn't come out of our wallets today, it's going to come out of our grandchildren's wallets down the road. $4 billion to the Navy. Oh, we got Space Force funded in this. That's great because I know we're all worried about that. Here's an interesting one. $208 million to upgrade the Census Bureau's computer systems. They don't do another census count until 2030. We got to jump on that. $208 million. Enjoy your $600 check out there. See what else we got. $40 million to the Kennedy Center. Kennedy Center must be nice. I think I went there when I was a kid. I think I went to some program there with my parents when I was a kid. But these elites must really like the Kennedy Center. This is their second round of bailouts in the tens of millions of dollars. They must really put on some productions that the elites like up there, huh? Let's see what else we got. There were a couple other ones here. We got $193 million for federal HIV/AIDS workers to buy cars and car insurance overseas, and a feminist museum. Oh, I love this one. They are funding for a commission to educate consumers, quote, about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame. I don't know what else you do but laugh. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. You're doing a great service by reporting all this. It occurs to me that if I were Trump, I would veto this bill, and I would go on television and see if I could get on all the networks, which I'm sure they wouldn't allow him to do that, but maybe one or two would, and say, here's why I'm vetoing this bill. Here's what's in it. It was supposed to be a bill to help people hurt by the government actions during the coronavirus problem, and yet Congress didn't really do that. Here's what they really did.
Right.
Another thing, all the money that goes to Pakistan, to Burma, to Israel, maybe not to, I mean, Israel probably grabs it all, but all these other countries, all this is really coming back into the pockets of people in Washington and their family members.
Right, yeah, you're
most
right.
Most of it.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And likewise, with $200 million, or was it $2 million or $2 million, a small sum in Washington to work on the computer systems with the Census Bureau.
Oh, no, $208 million.
$208 million
yeah.
to work on the computers. Well, I promise you, the consultants and the makers of the equipment and whatnot all have ties to somebody or to some lobbyist in Congress.
Absolutely.
The money is so enormous, it would be hard to audit and to trace all this. And I have to tell you this, too, and you say it every day. The people who call themselves Republicans are in this as deep as the people who call themselves Democrats.
Absolutely.
So if I were the president, I would say I'm vetoing the bill, and here's why. Here's what was needed. X dollars for people we put out of business. That's what was needed. And that's all they had to do. And they've had all this time to do it. But in reality, they just used it as an excuse for another spending bill, basically to line their own pockets to show our maybe obeisance, maybe the word, to certain foreign countries which really have undue influence with us. One in particular, which go watch the interview with James Traficant if you can find
yeah,
it on YouTube
right.
before
yeah.
they take it down. Greta Van Susteren interviews James Traficant. Whatever you think about Traficant, watch the 20-minute or 25-minute interview. They broke into the segments. You have to work to do it. And see what Traficant tells you about your Congress, about your senators. And I don't doubt that everybody in our contingent, except maybe Palazzo, everybody is bought. And young guys like Guest are just kind of waiting to be. He hasn't been approached yet, I'm sure. He just has to go along. He's too new at it.
Got to play the game to get there.
I think he's decent. And Cindy Hyde-Smith, I think, has learned the game already. She hasn't been there very long. And Wicker. You know, Wicker's not going to help Trump in this battle. You know, no, he's already figured out which side he wants to win. Or he thinks that they figure out who's going to win in this battle with Biden versus Trump, and they quickly align like McConnell did with who they believe the probable winner is. And it has nothing to do with how we voted. Our vote
didn't
count. Forget
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So I'm disgusted. I'm just waiting. Things are going to have to get really bad economically for enough people before there's some kind of a violent revolt. You know, people are still comfortable. Most people are still comfortable. And, you know, we got this thing in America where we got people who are affluent and who are comfortable, who have money, who can weather any storm, you know, looking down on the people, can't even understand the people who have to work every day. And if they miss a couple of paychecks, they're out in the street. We got no. Most people have no appreciation for them.
Well, this is what they're doing.
The people in the churches too. The high-powered people in the churches—they don't give a damn either. The poor people are going to end up having to start the revolution, and then some of the patriotic people, I like to think I'm one, are going to have to join with them.
Well, here's the nefarious thing about these bailouts, what they're doing now. There was actually a story I never got around to, and I may need to keep it and try to do it tomorrow. A guy from Goldman Sachs, the former chief financial officer for Goldman Sachs, has come out for universal basic income. And he said the reason he wanted to do it is he thought it was the only way they could stop a revolution. See, what they're trying to do with these bailout bills and with things like UBI and the extra $300 in unemployment, they're trying to give you just enough to stay short of that line of actually taking any action. They got to keep just give you enough of the crumbs to keep you not completely starving and desperate, but really just where you're very, very vulnerable and they can continue to control you. And this is what we see. These bailout bills, this stimulus bill, even the parts of it that are going to Americans, have essentially emboldened the governors and the mayors who have done the lockdowns and the shutdowns of the businesses. Mayors and governors can't shut down their economy if there's no lifeline coming from Washington, D.C. for them. They would be forced to allow us to operate our businesses because they couldn't weather the storm. These kinds of bills, even the Republicans, who I'll read in just a second, who are telling you that this money's going to businesses and going to individuals to help them out, that is just emboldening the Andrew Cuomos or the Tate Reeves or anybody else who wants to impose any mandate that hurts people economically, because they know that Uncle Sugar from the federal government is going to come ride to their rescue. If they didn't have this backstop, they could never do the things they're doing to us right now.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely true. It's really disgusting, the situation we face right now. I don't know how long it can last.
We're about to find out.
Surprised. Sometimes a revolution flares up. No one expected it. And if you look back at history, things happen and no one really expected it.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, I'm bumping up against a break. I got to take it real quick, but I certainly appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye. All right, quick break. Right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, I've only got about a minute left in this hour, so I'm going to take this up on the other side. We're taking a look at this stimulus. I'm doing air quotes here in the studio, stimulus bill. I'm going to read this one thing real quick. There's a tweet underneath a story about it. Everybody's whining about, you know, we're not whining. I mean, we're all furious about all the pork that's in this bill. And someone comments, what's everybody complaining about? Move to Ukraine. With this $453 billion plus the $400 billion already given, that works out to about 17,000. Almost 17,800 for every Ukrainian, better than a crappy $600 per American. So maybe that's the solution. Maybe we need to all move to one of the countries that's actually getting the taxpayer dollars and just leave the people here who are willing to have their pockets picked. This is disgusting. It's bipartisan. This is why I rail against the partisanship, because we will never solve anything playing this red team versus blue team, because this is the garbage we get.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. I'm trying to do a public service for everybody who has not read the 5,593 pages of the stimulus bill. It does stimulate a lot of stuff. Has got to really stimulate Israel with the $3.3 billion we gave them, the hundreds of millions to Ukraine, almost $500 million to Ukraine, on top of the $400 million you already gave to Ukraine. One of the most nefarious things about government spending is how politicians spend your money and you vote for them. How about that? Isn't that interesting? And then they take credit for it. They're doing a victory lap right now. The media is just heaping praise upon this bipartisan effort to get something done for the American people. The caller before the break last hour said it would be great to see Donald Trump veto this bill. And I totally agree with him. Do you think he's going to? The first spending bill that came across Trump's desk when he first got into office, he made a tiny show. He signed it, but he said something along the lines of, "Let me put you on notice. I won't be signing another one of these again." This is what he said. And then he has since signed 2 to 3 more. I'm not sure exactly when the budget comes out, but he's continued to sign these things. People say, well, it's the good thing about Donald Trump is he's not beholden to the special interest. Well, I got to tell you, when you look at the budgets that Trump has signed and some of the directions of some of the money that's been spent during the Trump White House, got to tell you, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I see an awful lot of spending for these same things, for the defense contractors, these social programs. Planned Parenthood's gotten raises every year. I believe that's right. I know a couple of years they've gotten raises in federal budgets. Trump hadn't stood in the way of that. So I'm not exactly sure what everybody's hanging on to. I agree. This would be a great one for Donald Trump to veto. But I don't believe for a second he's going to do it. I know I'm supposed to ignore it and say that, oh, this isn't Trump's fault. This is 8 years of hope and change with Obama, and this is why I'm telling you I'm trying to build bridges here between people. I don't play that partisan game. You can get that everywhere else. A listener to WYAB, God love him or her, has bestowed some gifts upon some of the show hosts here at WYAB for their steadfast loyalty and support of Donald Trump. Yours truly was not included in that. Because I'm going to hold Donald Trump accountable. I'm going to hold the Mississippi representatives. I'm about to read you their tweets about this massive pork-laden 5,000-page bill that none of them read. I'm going to hold them accountable, too. That's my job here. It's not to carry water. It's not to be steadfast, loyal support for any politician or party. How long are you people going to do that? Here was an interesting thing. Thomas Massie. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a libertarian, small L libertarian. I think the government should be about the size of a grape, do almost nothing. I'm not for Republicans or Democrats, and I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, which is a train wreck into itself, but I'm a free-thinking human being, and I'm sick of our government. The greatest threat, we made some more threats yesterday. I don't know if you followed this. The leader of CENTCOM has gone to, I think, Iraq or something. We're making some more. It's almost the one-year anniversary of our assassination of General Soleimani in Iran, and we're putting them on notice. They better not do anything. I'm telling you, I'm watching this false flag like a hawk. If Trump does leave office on January 20th, they don't have long to get the Iran war kicked off. I'm against all of these things, but I'm a small-L libertarian. And so I look to some of these libertarian-leaning legislators to see what they think about things. I'm curious if they're actually consistent. Here's what Thomas Massie said. He's the libertarian-leaning Republican from Kentucky. He tweeted out, "Could our and this goes to the idea that Trump is going to veto this thing, too. Listen to this. "Could our founders have imagined a dystopian future where the U.S. Treasury Secretary gets on a Sunday conference call to tell Congress about the legislation he wrote for them to vote on that night? Because that's what's going on right now." Let me read this again to you so that you understand why nobody's interested in reading this 5,593-page stimulus spending bill that will destroy our nation and the U.S. dollar, ultimately. Could our founders have imagined a dystopian future where the U.S. Treasury Secretary, and for any of you who don't know, that is Steven Mnuchin's Trump's guy that he plucked from, anyone, Goldman Sachs to be our Treasury Secretary. So the U.S. Treasury Secretary gets on a Sunday conference call to tell Congress about the legislation he wrote for them to vote on that night, because that's what's going on right now. So this is Steven Mnuchin and Donald Trump's spending bill. You doubt that? Because that's what a congressman, one of the few honest Congress critters up in Washington, D.C., had to say. Here's what Cindy Hyde-Smith tweeted out about this massive, pork-laden, budget-busting, future-generation anchoring bill. I am heartened that a spirit of compromise prevailed to ensure we continue needed relief for hard-hit families, unemployed workers, small businesses, and healthcare providers on the front lines of our fight against COVID-19. She didn't put this in her tweet, but I'll add this. You should have. And I didn't read it. But see how this is what 95% of the population out there is hearing about this bill. I just read you the billions of dollars going to foreign countries, the hundreds of millions of dollars going to the Census Department to retool their computers for the next census in 2030, to the Kennedy Center, to a commission to try to tell us not to put propane tanks next to an open flame. And I would imagine more will surface. It takes a while for even the cyber sleuths to get through. I tried to download this thing last night. I had kind of slow internet where I was. I couldn't even get the whole thing downloaded, so I couldn't look through it. But Cindy Hyde-Smith is telling you that this is just a bill. What did she say? It's just relief for hard-hit families, unemployed workers, small businesses, and healthcare providers on the front lines. Here's what Roger Wicker said. Well, you know, when I say Cindy Hyde-Smith said this and Roger Wicker, I guess this is just the Republican Party just puts out a memo and says, hey, dude, you know, kind of tinker with this, make it your own, have a little fun. But here's basically the messaging we're sending out. Roger Wicker said, after months of unnecessary delays, Congress is working to deliver much needed relief to the American people. The coronavirus relief package represents a strong bipartisan compromise that will help millions of Americans through what I hope are the final months of the pandemic. And if I were to be honest, I would encourage him to put at the end of that tweet, and I never read it. I never read this bill. Nobody did. Here's Michael Guest. Tonight, we will be voting on COVID relief that Republicans have been trying to bring to the floor for months. See, that's the red team, blue team thing. It's all the Democrats' fault that this took so long, you know. And it was. Nancy Pelosi is a piece of human refuse, playing politics with people's lives, but they all are. Michael Guest goes on to say, this legislation bolsters our nation's response to the coronavirus by facilitating vaccine distribution, assisting small businesses, and supporting rural hospitals. He also did not put at the bottom of it, oh, by the way, BTW. Nobody on my staff or myself read this bill. It's just way too big for us to know exactly what's in it. But he didn't mention anything about the foreign aid in his tweet, did he? That's just weird. That's strange. What's equally funny to me is that when I was looking at Michael Guest's Twitter feed, and look, let me just tell you out front, Michael Guest's one of the nicest guys I've ever known. I knew him back in my 20s. Super, super nice guy. No beef with Michael Guest as a person. But I have certainly no faith that he is somehow going to undo what I see as the problems in Congress. I just assume he voted for this thing. I'll be honest, I haven't even looked up the voting record, but with all these glowing tweets, we have to assume that they were lockstep voting for this monstrous bill. But what was funny was in Michael Guest's Twitter feed, he had that little comment about bolstering our nation's response to coronavirus and assisting small businesses and supporting rural hospitals, right underneath that. And again, this is a $900 billion bill on top of the $2.2 trillion bill that they passed earlier this year. He linked a story written about him in Y'all Politics. This is right under, I think it was the very next tweet. If not, it was certainly, I don't scroll a lot through Twitter, so it was very close to his statement about this budget-busting welfare bill that they're putting out. Corporate welfare, airlines are getting money, Ukraine's getting, I mean, you know, it's welfare to other countries, to giant corporations, to the Kennedy Center, to everything else. Right underneath there was this Y'all Politics story that he had linked to because it was written about him. Here's a headline to it. Get ready for a laugh here. Guest reaffirms commitment to fiscal responsibility and bipartisan resolution. And here's a little out of this story. He has now been in Congress to vote on a $2.2 trillion bill and now a $900. That's $3.1 billion for anybody out there that's got the same public school math skills that I do. $3.1 trillion. And he is touting an article written about him in Y'all Politics about his commitment to fiscal responsibility. The story is, today, Congressman Michael Guest reaffirmed his commitment to fiscal responsibility while acknowledging the need for additional COVID-19 relief funds by co-sponsoring a resolution, quote, expressing the sense of the House of Representatives on addressing the reckless and unsustainable national debt while committing necessary resources to the COVID-19 pandemic. Really, it was necessary to give Ukraine $480 million in response to COVID? $135 million to Sudan? $208 million to the Census Bureau to retool their computers for the 2030 census. This was important for pandemic response. And understand that these same Congress critters sat back and watched $110,000 small businesses go underwater, small restaurants go underwater in the last 5 months. They just sat there and watched it happen. The story goes on, quote, the source of American resiliency has always been our nation's adherence to our core values. Fiscal conservatism combined with common sense legislation allows our economy to rebound while preparing our nation for future needs, Guest said. Quote, unfortunately, we have become increasingly reliant on deficit spending in recent years, and with the ongoing battle against the coronavirus, this has led our country down the path towards worrying levels of national debt. Once the coronavirus is defeated, Congress will need to make necessary reductions to our spending, which will allow the U.S. government to return to a state of fiscal security and preparedness. Yeah, after this emergency passes, he pinky swears they're going to start really paying attention to their spending. What will the next crisis be? War! The military needs more money. It's the economy. We're in a recession. We'll deal with the spending after the recession is over. China! What will it be? Because it will be something. They'll have another emergency. Here's the kicker here. This is really funny because there was legislation passed in 1985 that is mentioned many times within this stimulus bill. It is the 1985 Graham Rudman Hollings Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985. It is mentioned in this bill many times. Here's what it was. It is known as Graham Rudman. It's the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Reaffirmation Act of 1987. See, they got a couple things wrong in the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 85, so they did a reaffirmation with some changes in 1987. This is how it's described on Wikipedia, the first binding spending constraints on the federal budget. Now, I don't know if you've seen a chart of debt in the United States from 1985 to 2020, but it's like this law never existed, isn't it? Under the 1985 Act, allowable deficit levels were calculated in consideration of the eventual elimination of the federal deficit. This thing is still on the books, and they're touting it in this thing right now. The design of it was to balance the budget, control emergency spending, to pay off the national debt in 1985. They're still touting it in this act that they just passed yesterday, the stimulus bill. If the budget exceeded allowable deficit, across-the-board cuts were required by statute in this law, this 1985. I'm just going to say it again because it's such a hoot. They called it the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act of 1985. So You see, we're always in an emergency situation. I'm sure in 1985 they realized spending was getting out of control, and they said, well, we need to rein this in. Let's pass the Balanced Budget and Emergency Deficit Control Act. That'll do it. But I guess something came up in 86 that meant, well, this isn't the year we can balance the budget. And then another emergency in 1987. You remember Black Monday? That was very scary. Ooh, Wall Street took a big hit. I'm sure they had to respond to that. And then something in 89 leading up to the Gulf War. And then we had Gulf War 90, 91, 92. Every year there's another emergency. But Michael Guest's pinky swears, no fingers crossed, that once we get through COVID, he has reaffirmed his dedication to fiscal responsibility. And the funniest thing about this is do you know what the emergency is right now that requires this massive bill that they just passed with all of these special goodies to other countries and special interest groups? It's the government's overreaction to coronavirus. I mean, you could say if there's a hurricane and you've got to spend some money, at least, not to my knowledge yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if I found it was true, at least we don't think Congress caused the hurricane. So if you got to spend a little bit of money, maybe that's a legitimate emergency. But 99% of the emergencies that our Congress responds to are emergencies in reaction to things that they caused. And it's never been more clear than when it comes to the decimation to our society from their overreaction to coronavirus. And now they respond to their mistake by making a bigger, even more horrible mistake, particularly for future generations. Now, there are a couple of people who have a little bit of sanity on that. I'll feature them in just a minute, Steve.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
A lot of people don't like my independence. To quit calling yourself a libertarian. A bunch of weirdos. I admit, there are some weirdos in the Libertarian Party. I kind of like it, though. Some variety. There's not a lot of groupthink. Libertarians will disagree with other libertarians on stuff, and that's okay. I'm just for a really, 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 really small government. And I'm going to tell you, I've told you what your statist Republicans have said from Mississippi. Mitch McConnell, the rest of the statist Republicans, they'll take a victory lap on this. These are the people who tell you that you're supposed to pat them on the back and cheer for them when they walk into a room because they decide one year that instead of taking 24% of your income, they're only going to take 21%. And they've convinced you to cheer for that. I find that pathetic because you see the respect they treat your money with. Any of you send anything in your a little note with your last tax return, every time you submit your, hey, if you wouldn't mind, peel off about $480 million of this and send it to Ukraine. Did you do that? I didn't. See, them lowering your taxes by 10%, taking 21% instead of 24%, that doesn't impress me. Not at all. I think they should get their grubby little mitts out of our pockets in the first place. But I understand that that's, you know, not a popular view. But here's what some of the more libertarian-leaning people of this was interesting. I've talked about Thomas Massie. He was talking about the last round of stimulus checks. He sent out this tweet. The infuriating thing about government. IRS admits stimulus checks went to over a million dead people. IRS admits stimulus checks went to foreigners living overseas. IRS admits thousands of my constituents haven't received their checks. He's from Kentucky. And no one at the IRS has been fired. And then he went on to say, imagine not sending your tax payment to the IRS and then offering an excuse that you accidentally sent it to a government overseas or to a government that no longer exists. See how that works out for you. Now, that's the kind of thinking I can get behind. There's also a story here, while we're talking about spending today, they've done an investigation and found out that Social Security has, let me make sure I've got this figure right, because it's so mind-boggling that you kind of think maybe I'm wrong. No, Social Security currently has 6 million people on the rolls over the age of, anyone? 112. There are only 40 people in the world known to be over 112 years old right now, but our Social Security Administration, and again, this is after 8 years of hope and change and 4 years of MAGA, 6 million people over the age of 112 are receiving Social Security benefits. There's 40 in the world, 6 million in the United States are receiving benefits. And you think taxes are a price you pay for a civilized society? Are you kidding me? It'd be interesting to have lived longer, to see this whole rollout, to see the slow boil of Americans' brains to learn to accept these things. There was no income tax on middle-income people back in the 1930s. They didn't start it till after the war. And you could kind of say, well, we fought a world war. Maybe we all need to chip in and pay off the debt for that. And we did. But then they kept it. And American people did what became the American motto at the time was, duh, okay. You bunch of weak-kneed people. Rand Paul, the lone debt ranger in the Senate up there. Thomas Massie, by the way, is one of the only ones that takes seriously this kind of spending, and he really wants us out of the wars, not just says it. He actually means it. See, libertarians mean things. Trump wanted him run out of the Republican Party. You remember this? He went after him on Twitter, said, get rid of this guy now. He's no good. People of Kentucky, get rid of him. This is why I'm not a Trump fan. Because he doesn't have the core beliefs. He said he was going to pay off the national debt when he got into office. As a matter of fact, he said it was going to be easy. Strange. But anyway, one other libertarian-leaning guy is Rand Paul. Rand Paul went to the floor of the Senate, and I'm going to play his comments at length because it's refreshing to hear at least one person up there that's actually serious about it. One person that's not taking to their Twitter account to pat themselves on the back for giving away billions and billions of dollars to special interest and a few crumbs out there to the American people. Enjoy your $600 check. Well, yeah, Rand Paul, one of the better ones up there. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Just want to remind everybody one more time, only got a couple of hours till this thing cranks up, so I want to talk about it. I got a blood drive out here in Flora at the MEA out in Flora. Look, holiday time is a bad time for people to be donating blood. Everybody gets too busy, they forget about it, but unfortunately, people still need blood. Things still happen that require it, so it's a tough time for them. So today, from noon until 5 o'clock, at front of the MEA, Mississippi Blood Services will be pulling up the blood van, the blood bus, 740 Highway 49 South, right in front of the MEA. They'll have the bus out there. You get a $15 Visa card and a Mississippi Blood Services Christmas T-shirt for all the successful donations. So come out here and donate. Again, that is today from noon until 5 o'clock. So do your thing. Good holiday gift. Good selfless gift to give people. All right. I'm going to play Rand Paul's remarks. He goes on for several minutes here. I think it's all worth hearing. Number one, because it's rare. You know, people will drop everything, fly halfway across the country. If they get word that, you know, these bird watchers, if they hear that a rare bird is somewhere, they'll fly across the country, spend thousands of dollars to just go out with a pair of binoculars just to see a bird they've never seen. Well, Rand Paul, Thomas Massey are those rare birds in politics who actually talk about these things because they understand the danger. The biggest danger to the American people is our own government, and the spending is a big part of that danger.
Senator from Kentucky.
Republicans like to mock modern monetary theory, the idea that government can print money with impunity, that government can spend whatever it wants without the need to tax. Modern monetary theory is basically the Dick Cheney deficits don't matter crowd, trussed up with a new fancy title. Most Republicans rightly lampoon this quackery, that is, when they're not practicing the quackery themselves. Today, many of these same Republicans will vote for a bill that makes modern monetary theory look like child's play in comparison. The monster spending bill presented today is not just a deficits don't matter disaster, it is everything Republicans say they don't believe in. This bill is free money for everyone. Proponents don't care if you're fully employed or own your own house or own your own business. Free money for everyone, they cry. And yet, if free money were the answer, if money really grew on trees, why not give more free money? Why not give it out all the time? Why stop at $600 a person? Why not $1,000? Why not $2,000? Maybe these new free money Republicans should join the Everybody Gets a Guaranteed Income Caucus. Why not $20,000 a year for everybody? Why not $30,000? If we can print up money with impunity, why not do it? The Treasury can just keep printing the money. That is, until someone points out that the emperor has no clothes and that the dollar no longer has value. To so-called conservatives who are quick to identify the socialism of Democrats, if you vote for this spending monstrosity, you are no better. When you vote to pass out free money, you lose your soul and you abandon forever any semblance of moral or fiscal integrity. So the next time you see Republicans in high moral dudgeon claiming and complaining about spending of Democrats and socialism, remind them if they supported this monstrous bill, that really the difference between the parties is less Adam Smith versus Marx and more Marx versus Engels. How bad is our fiscal situation? Well, the federal government brought in $3.3 trillion last year and spent $6.6 trillion. The deficit last year, a record-busting $3.3 trillion. If you're looking for more COVID bailout money, we don't have any. The coffers are bare. We have no rainy day fund. We have no savings account. Congress has spent all the money long ago. The economic damage from this pandemic is not the reason for this runaway spending. This spending's been going on for decades. Every year, even before we get to all the extra COVID-free money, we've been spending $1 trillion we don't have. Today's money is gone. So Congress is spending tomorrow's money. The spending chart is a red line of red ink that goes on forever. When we talk about spending tomorrow's money, it's not just the money that we need next month, it's the money we might need in a decade. It's the money we will need in one, two, three generations from now. For national defense, for infrastructure. This is the money that your children and your grandchildren will pay back with interest. The deficit doubling and tripling. Under George Bush, it went from $5 trillion to $10 trillion. Under President Obama, it went from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. We're now at $27 trillion, but we're adding it at $1 trillion a year before we get to this COVID budget-busting bailout. Every tax-paying American already owes over $136,000, and they're staring at projections into the future that show no end. We are $27 trillion in debt today. How do we expect a child to have the economic opportunity when this crushing debt is their inheritance from Congress? The numbers are mind-boggling. It's hard to conceive of what $1 billion is, much less $1 trillion. How big is a billion? Well, 1 billion seconds ago was 1988, and Reagan was president. 1 billion minutes ago, Jesus walked the shore of the Sea of Galilee. 1 billion hours ago, man still lived in caves. But $1 billion ago was just 80 minutes ago. $1 billion ago, at the rate Congress spends money, was just 80 minutes ago. All of this should be setting off alarm bells. But the only alarm bells in Congress are sounding the alarm for more spending and more debt. No cuts, no offsets, no pay-fors, no prioritization. Just print it up. Print up more money and give it out to everybody because it's free money. Come and get yours. Well, the getting's good, but it leads to a mountain of debt. Spend all this money and leave the future to figure itself out. John Maynard Keynes was once asked, what about the long run? He said, in the short run, you know, you can make a stimulus, you can print money, and you can give it to everybody. And Maynard Keynes, his response was, in the long run, we'll all be dead. No concern for the future, only for the immediate. Our budget deficit for 2020 was $3.3 trillion, but this new spending package will also give us another $2 trillion in the next fiscal year. By refusing to acknowledge the debt crisis, we are only hastening the day of economic reckoning. Total debt was 55% of GDP just 20 years ago. Today, it's 128% of GDP. So our annual or our total debt is more than our GDP, 128% of our GDP. The World Bank estimates there's a tipping point of debt to GDP at about 77%. Every percentage point costs another tenth or so of economic growth. So every year we're giving up somewhere between 5 to 8% of growth every year because of this burden of debt. This is thousands of jobs every year, tens of thousands of jobs that we lose because of this burden of debt. We are borrowing and worsening this debt crisis in part because too many governors and mayors have imposed heavy-handed restrictions that crush business. It isn't the pandemic that's killing the economy. It's the government's overzealous response that is killing the economy. The pandemic itself was disrupted, but Congress is being asked to help perpetuate these lockdowns. The more money we give to the states, the more they keep us in lockdown. Every bailout dollar printed and passed out to the governors only allows these tin-pot dictators to perpetuate the lockdowns. Their rules are arbitrary and unscientific. Governors and mayors across the country are picking winners and losers. Businesses, some that have been in families for generations, are being wiped out because they're not allowed to open. Restaurants have to close their doors for indoor dining, but then they're told they can open at limited capacity. But then they are told they have to close again. And then they're told they can open outside, and then they're told they can't open outside. Confusing doesn't even explain the half of it.
So he goes on, that's not the entire thing, but he makes some points that nobody else will make. Your politicians will go out and do a victory lap over this bipartisan victory for the American people. They'll leave out all the foreign policy stuff, all the handouts to Ukraine and Israel and Nepal and Sudan. They won't tell you about any of those things because they don't want you to know. And they know that you'll never read the 5,593-page bill. And you know how they know you'll never read it? Because they didn't read it themselves. And it turns out, according to Thomas Massey, who you would think, as a sitting congressman, is involved in the negotiations and knows what's going on in Capitol Hill, he says that Steven Mnuchin, Trump's Treasury Secretary, former Goldman Sachs executive, is the one that wrote this bill in the first place. Well, I got to tell you, It's the Trump administration wrote this bill, gave it to Congress, who didn't read it, and then just passed it so they could pat themselves on the back and say they did something. I don't have a whole lot of faith that Trump's actually going to veto it.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, final segment here on the Mike Madison Show. Look, I spent 2 hours talking about this stimulus bill. I'm sure I provoked some outrage by people, but here's the problem. When Cindy Hyde Smith, Roger Wicker, Michael Guest, any Republicans anywhere go campaign, all they got to tell you is what? You're going to let a Democrat win? Same with the Democrats. There'll be a lot of progressive Democrats that are really sick of Joe Biden. He's already showing that he's going to be just a corporatist stooge. And the progressives are mad at him, but they'll just go to the progressives and go, what? You're going to let the Republicans? You're going to let Trump win in 2024? You're trapped. My opinion is you should start focusing on some primaries and quit buying this Republican rubber-stamped acceptable candidate garbage. I've been on air while I watched it play out, and they told you that Chris McDaniel just couldn't win in a general, so you can't vote for him. Cindy Hyde Smith is a safe bet. Same when they kept him out of running against Thad Cochran. You know, a lot of people love to talk about the fact that the Democrats are putting up a mental patient in Joe Biden up there. And no offense personally to Thad Cochran, but many people knew Thad Cochran wasn't, he was old. Not all there mentally, but they convinced you to put Thad Cochran back in office, didn't they? So maybe we don't judge too hard on the Democrats who are being convinced to put up someone who doesn't have their mental faculties. That's an inconvenient fact, isn't it? That's not going to be popular with people. Yeah, but it's different because, well, give me a second. I'll figure out why that's different. You're trapped. Absolutely trapped. I actually did the math on, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm anti our government giving $3.3 billion to Israel or any country, Portugal, Germany, England, Canada, our great neighbor and friend. I don't like them getting money from the Treasury. But I did figure it out. 110,000 small mom-and-pop restaurants have gone out of business in the last 5 months. If we had taken that $3.3 billion that we gave to Israel, we could have given each one of those restaurateurs $30,000. You think that might have made a difference in their lives, in the operation of their business? Think that might have paid a few months' rent for them? But no. No. Because those small mom-and-pop businesses don't have the power of an AIPAC, the Israeli lobbying group that owns Congress. Not supposed to say that. Yeah, so I can stoke the outrage. It's pretty easy to do. I'm looking here. I don't know if I have time to do this live on air, but a listener just called me and said, in this stimulus bill that former presidents are getting some money here, it's not pulling up, it's screening this thing. I'll certainly be researching this. The idea is that former presidents are getting $4.4 million from this stimulus bill. Certainly that couldn't be true. Maybe that's a misunderstanding of this, but I will certainly be reporting on it tomorrow as I research that further. Look, you people, black, white, young, old, Republican, Democrat, you're all getting screwed by the same system. And you are so busy fighting with each other on Twitter or Facebook that you will never accomplish anything. Trump 2024, what difference is that going to make? We are at the end of 4 years of MAGA, and I'm reading you about this bill. We are watching the debt explode. We are seeing more socialism rolled out in this country over the last 4 years than the last 4 years of the Obama administration. Now, it's always encroaching. government gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and more people get on benefits from the government. But the last 4 years has been an acceleration of that. I don't know if it's, I'm supposed to ignore that. I don't. That's why I don't get gifts for for my loyal, steadfast support for Donald Trump, because I think Donald Trump has taken his eyes off the ball, to say the very least, and I think the Trump supporters have taken their eye off him taking his eye off the ball. We're more socialist now than we've ever been. Near as I can tell, I'm not a student of history. Maybe there was a time, but I can't imagine how it could possibly be. We've spent $3.1 trillion this year in just two spending bills. We've never had beefed up unemployment, which is the same as universal basic income. Then you got people in both parties cheering for it, all the way up to the president and all the way down to your local congressman. But the trap you were in, this two-party trap, it's really hard to break people out of that, because it is difficult. I understand. Last thing you want to do is not vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith and see Mike Espy and tilt the Senate to Democrats. So it's this trap. But they know it. That's how they play it. They want that. That's what the political theater is there for, so that you are helpless watching $483 million stolen from the American people and sent to the country of Ukraine, almost $900 million stolen from American taxpayers and sent to Ukraine. There's nothing you can do about it, because all you do is just go out and do that vote. Every 4 years, every 2 years, every 6 years, I vote. And the guy I voted for said he would never do that. And then they do. And then you do the same thing the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. It's quite a trap. But until American people come together and say no, and I don't have any, well, look, I'm looking at moving out of the country at some point, or moving out in the woods. That's my personal solution. I can't help you people if you won't help yourself. Anyway, we'll study this a little bit more. It's 5,000 pages, a lot more sure to come out. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thanks for joining me today. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.